Hello, listeners. Just me here at the moment. Kyle's had to dash off post-recording quick as he could. So it's just me telling you that. This is a little preview of the Ultras only midweek episode. Live from the caged, flare, smoke-filled section of no-nonsense HQ stadium. Or I don't know. I don't really know what the bit is. So this is a little clip of the latest Patreon-only episode. If you want to get the full episode, link is in the description for this episode. $4.50 a month gives you access to all the bonus episodes covering midweek games like this week, the Champions League. We'll be covering a lot of the Euros in there when that kicks off. With that being said, take it away, me and Cahill, and enjoy.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a No Nonsense Podcast, Ultra Edition pod. Suitably for the Ultras, it was mayhem, absolute midweek mayhem this week in the Premier League.
It was a nice change. Last week we were talking about the Arsenal City game, and like, God, what's happened to the game we love? By God, Man United and Chelsea showed us a real, they brought it back.
Yeah, that was the opposite, the complete opposite of that game. But that was way more entertaining, for one. Everyone can agree that was great. Even as a maybe supporter.
Oh, yeah, it was good.
United or Chelsea, you can object, look at that and go, yeah, that was better to watch than City or Arsenal. Or even watching your own team in a nil-nil chess match, you know. But I guess it's just so, like, we find that entertaining. But we also know, without being, like, as casual watchers of the game, you and I, we can say, that was so wrong. There was so much wrong with that performance by those teams. Like, they had no control over the game. They had no kind of structure. Like, we all start talking like we're like stats guys.
Yeah.
You know, once we see a game like that, we can spot the problems that we've really no idea what we're talking about, but we've heard so much about what the game, the professional game should be these days, that when we see something entertaining, we go, that was great, but it was also bad. Like, that's a really bad sign that they did that, you know, which is, it is strange that we watch this for entertainment, but then we see something like that and we can spot the problems with it.
Yeah, it was mad because, like you're saying, if the Arsenal City game was a chess match, I was like, what would this be? I was thinking, this is like paintball. It's just like, no, it was insane. There was a spell in the second half, especially the first 20 minutes of the second half, where it was back and forth. And you see that all the time, like teams countering. But this was different. Literally, it was like neither team had a midfield. It was Chelsea would have a chance. 5 seconds later, United would have a chance. Then 5 seconds. And it was like that for over and over and over again. But also, it felt like neither team was ever going to score. Like, it was mad. It's just, it was the worst of both teams on show, I think, while also being probably the best game either team will be in this season.
Yeah, it was the game of the season, I would say. And there's probably a bit of recency bias in that, because I heard today that that's United's fifth 4-3 of the season.
It's insane. Like, that's, I had said it on the last week about, like, how is Ten Hag getting away with this? Like, it does feel like it's a bit out of
control.
Did
mention that, yeah.
And I don't know, that really summed it up for me. Of just like, this is insane. Like, again, it's not the players, because we saw moments of magic from fucking Antony of all people. So it's like, these players can do it. But it's like, whatever way they're set up is just insane. I saw a stat that they've conceded 225 shots in the league, which is more than any team in Europe's top five leagues this season.
Yeah. And honestly, it's great to watch as a neutral, but it does translate to being seventh in the table, is it?
Seventh, yeah. And it looks like maybe sliding.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if they were to catch Tottenham and Aston Villa now for that fourth spot. I don't know. I think we have become so cynical with it. You know, like, you're down 2-0, right, to Chelsea. You come back, you draw the game. Now you're ahead, and then they get a penalty, which is, you know, dubious.
Unlucky, I would say.
It's one of those ones where if the referee hasn't called it, the VAR doesn't give this. But once the referee gives this, the VAR can't say, well, there's a clear and obvious mistake, because there was contact. And as we all know, that means that you can go down if you want. So they couldn't overturn it, but they definitely wouldn't have given it if the ref wasn't sure.
Yeah.
You know, because the ref called it, they were fucked then. It had to be a penalty. Whatever. It's 3-3. Good punch, you know. If this is in school, Will, right? This is a school lunchtime. Yeah. or a five-a-side, right? And you have a minute left before the other team has to go into the cage or whatever it is, or before the bell goes. Are you saying, right, lads, keep it tight, sit in the ball, let's get this 1 point and take it back into French, you know? Like, we'll get them next week after maths, you know? Like that's, I guess it's different because it's not a league system, but you know what I mean? It's like, if you're in any other situation, you go, well, right, there's one or two kicks of the game, well, let's try and get the winner. Yeah.
What are they going to do, come back?
But like, again, it's like, who cares? Because it's just like, that's what sport is. Like, you don't end in a draw, it's like next goal win. That's exactly. When the next goal wins comes about, but whatever. You're watching this thinking, you know, keep that one point, you know, you need that 1 point. But at the same stage, you're not going to catch Villa by get 1 point or time. Like, you do need the 3 points. I don't think that's what Ten Hag was saying. I feel like he was kind of frozen to the spot as he watched Dallow run up the pitch trying to correct his mistake and then give the ball away again. It's like, no, you've done two bad things now. Like, there was zero control by anyone on that pitch, or Ten Hag wasn't screaming to... He's not really a screamer. He doesn't like...
It's bizarre. Because he's not like an over-the-top screamer like Pep is sometimes. But he's also... He's not like a thinker on the sideline either. Do you know what I mean? He's kind of in between. Whenever you see him, he's kind of just giving out to the referee. He's never actually changing anything, it feels like.
Yeah, no, that was definitely a time... to say, right, lads, stop. Like, when Dallow was running that ball, like, just stop running that way. Yeah, stop.
Go back.
I feel like he was just, like, staring at him, like, I wonder what's going to happen here. No, they're going back down the other way. Oh, no. But what's worse is that went for a corner. And, like, nobody was awake that corner. Like, that was literally the last kick of the game. They take a short corner. They get to Cole Palmer right in the box where he can put all his weight behind that shot. And, like, obviously hit it off McTominay, who wasn't... playing the whole game. He only came on as a sub. He wasn't close up to the man. He was too far from the goal. Like, he was literally no man's land. The worst pitch can be to deflect a goal in.
Yeah.
And, you know, how they got the ball to Palmer. To Cole Palmer, of all people, on a hat-trick.
The whole second half, Cole Palmer had so much time on the ball. Like, and he's the only one that you have to stop having time on the ball. But it just felt like no one was on him. They were like, look... Like, move in. What's Cole Palmer going to do? Which, it was insane. And then, yeah, like you said, it was like a deflection at the end. But I don't know if you saw that, the screenshot going around of as the ball's coming out to Cole Palmer. And there's like five Man United players pointing at him saying, someone stop him.
Really? I didn't see it.
I'll send it to you after this. It's very funny.
God, because like that, when you look back in that corner, like, you know, the one I'm thinking of is the Liverpool one against Barcelona, where they weren't really awake. But that was like a lash ball in, one touch finish, the ball was in the net before anyone even realized. This one, like, he took the corner, then Palmer got it, shifted onto his left foot, then wound it up like he was lowering a cannon. And everyone's pointing at him. Somebody stop him.
He's going to shoot.
Yeah, it was unbelievable scenes. I couldn't believe it. Apparently there was Chelsea fans who left when they were 3-2 down, and they went, this game's over. There's no way this Chelsea side is getting a winner here.
Well, that's what it felt like, yeah.
Yeah, it was like that. The penalty came from nothing. Just got a one by Dallow, ran into the box, kind of going nowhere. There's no plan there. There's no kind of like cut back on the horizon. There was nothing. It was like a player running as fast as we could. Dallow with the mad kind of a grab out after he fell. It came from nothing. Penalty, and then it was just... Absolute chaos.
Do you know what's... You were talking there about some of the Chelsea fans who had left at 3-2.
Yes.
Do you know what happened to me?
What?
When I saw Dallow falling forward and desperately pulling down whoever it was, I turned it off because I was like, ah, fuck, 3-3, that's shite.
You did not turn it off.
I turned it off. I missed the fourth goal.
What?
Because sure, it was like the 97th minute, he was taking the penalty, and I was like, oh, I can't get any worse than this. I'm not watching this.
Oh my God, you didn't watch the penalty. You didn't think, you didn't have any faith in Ronaldo to save it?
No, I did not. Cole Palmer's unbelievable.
Well, I had Onana in my fantasy team. I had David Rea on the bench. I forgot to put him in. So I had Onana there. And I was like, okay, right. Yeah. Like, he's going to get lots of shots on target. So he'll get some saves anyways, right? It's 3-2. You get -1 for conceding 2 goals, right? So he's made 5 saves. I'm like, if he gets a penalty save here, that's perfect. That's like 5 points.
Back.
Plus a 6th save. That's another point. Like, this is huge. I always watch this, like, begging Ronaldo to save this. He doesn't. I'm like, all right, well, whatever. At least he won't. At least that's the only points he'll concede. He scored, when they concede the fourth, then that's another minus point. He finished with 2 points, made six saves.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was, fantasy is mad. It'll have you like rooting for a team that you have nothing. I'm like, come on, Onana, please. I've been dogging Onana all year saying he's not good enough, saying you should get Kelleher in. I'm like, oh, come on, Onana, you got this. You've got this. Go left. He always goes left. But
I know the feeling, because in the Liverpool game, when they took off Salah in the 70th minute, and again, I hate Liverpool. But I was like, what the hell are you doing, Klopp?
You need a goal, damn it. Leave him on. He's a generational player.
But it's funny you mentioned Onana there, because it's like a different set of problems for United this year than last year. Last year, it was like things were going okay on the pitch, but it was the back was a shambles and De Gea was all over the place. This year, it's like there's injuries, but it's like the back is actually okay most of the time. But it's that there's no midfield. And Onana's all right, but it's like he can't score. So it's like, how?
I mean, I was led to believe at one point, Will, that Ronaldo was a problem. Guess not.
I know.
Guess not, brother. That tweet that he sent out, you see that sometimes where it's like a timed tweet and people kind of run with this and it's about something else. I 100% believe that was about that.
Yeah, it was so. The smug look on his face was a man looking at his old enemies failing.
The smug look on his face, looking at his phone, and he tweets out happy days with a green love heart to maybe thinly veil it with like the Saudi Arabian flag behind him. I don't know. Was there some kind of something else of significance happened in Saudi Arabia? I don't know. But it was like 30 minutes after the United results, he tweets it out.
Yeah.
Happy days. Crazy. The man has won everything in football. I mean, Barrett the World Cup.
He's demented, yeah.
But to think that he'd still be preying on Ten Hag's downfall. A man so far below him in like legacy and status in the game. It's the, like, talk about punching down. You know what I mean?
Like, that's the thing as well. I think in his mind, the thought of him not being good at United doesn't even come into it. It's just like, and if it wasn't for Ten Hag, I would have scored another 100 goals at United.
Yeah, I mean, the whole United thing with Ten Hag, that did it tarnished it United legacy a little bit, you know?
Definitely, yeah. My thoughts on Ronaldo are definitely lessened than if he had never come back to United.
Yeah. I mean, there's people who don't care about the stuff off the pitch. Let's just be honest with that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who just like wish it was 05 or 06 again, you know? Which is fine, you know? And they, when they came back, like, this is great. This is literally, you know, it's all come up Millhouse here. This is great. And then, you know, he does that and it's like, that's going to ruin the memory a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
So he probably looks at Ten Hag going, you ruined my night legacy a little bit. Which, say what you want about him being an egomaniac, there is something there for him about Man United that, like, that is a place where I kind of made my name. Like, that was kind of a, you know, it would be nice to finish there as in leave my own terms. I'll be run out of the club like some kind of, you know, bad influence on players or something, you know? An insanely Ronaldo move, Ronaldo, you know, just completely unnecessary. Can't let it go. But that's what makes him the best, Will. That's why he's the GOAT.
I saw at the end of the game, because I think that's a big loss for Ten Hag, because I think, again, I said it last week.
Oh, yeah. That's a huge loss.
I said it last week about that's me done with him. I would say there's a lot of United fans who now, again, and they have an implosion every 3 weeks, it feels like.
Yeah. As you mentioned there, the fifth 4-3 of the year.
That's far too many.
The record of the latest Premier League winner in history, that was. Probably thanks to the extended extra time we have these days. That probably won't stand for too long. I'm sure eventually there'll be have like a game that goes. Newcastle will be involved, I'm sure. And it'll, you know, it'll be beaten. I mean, it was kind of a chaotic performance, and we are maybe focusing a bit much on Ten Hag here, but like this Chelsea team seems to not have made any progress in terms of like a, you know, like a new manager comes into a chaotic club with kind of managers coming in and out, no real systems. Like the first thing that most of them do is like keep it tight, you know, get the defense sorted out. Get some kind of standard of play that you will produce like 6-7 out of 10 every week, and then you can build on that. It's just every week. It's like, and they're in what, 11th? Are they still top? Are they still bottom half of the table still? All year long?
They're 10th or 11th, yeah.
Like, there seems to be no progress for this Chelsea team. There's, like, good players, obviously. You know, there's no kind of progression.
Well, a good example of it is, obviously they conceded 3 goals, but they scored 4. But I mean, 2 of their goals were penalties, and they're like, it's, on another day, could have been no penalties, just the way they were. The last goal was a deflection, and then, so it's like, they didn't really, it wasn't like at any point in the game, they were slicing through Man United, or like, it was all clicking. It just felt like they were getting chances because United were so all over the place as well. Rather than they, like, every now and then it clicked. It just didn't. It didn't click for either team. It just felt like 11 strangers playing 11 strangers. It did not look good for either manager.
It was like a game you play at lunchtime in school. It was that kind of chaotic.
Yeah, just exactly.
Running at it and it, as if there's nothing on the line here. There's not millions and millions of pounds being pumped into both these teams. You know, it's fine. Just have a go. Cole Palmer, like you were saying there, got 2 penalties, right? That's his 16th goal of the season, but 8 penalties?
Yes.
This I was saying this last night in the group chat. Well, didn't get much traction there, but I'll do it again because it's my show. Well, our show, you know.
This is why we started it.
to bring up stuff from the group chat to strangers who aren't in the group chat. No, what I was saying was that, like, penalties you kind of look at and you go, all right, well, it's a free one-on-one shot. Like, anybody can score that, you know. But there is kind of a nuance to it where, like, that one last night where it was, you know,
huge.
2-3. It was, at the time, everyone thought last kick of the game. You're standing there with the ball in your hand and the ref goes, oh, hang on, we have to check this 6 or 7 times. You know, while my Knight fans are going to be buzzing around everywhere here, like, cursing and swearing and putting you off your game. And you have to wait, and then you have to score the penalty to draw the game to get 1 point in this game. Like, that's way harder than, you know, like, getting an open chance when you're 2-0 up to get the third one. You know what I mean? Like, a tap in to get the third one. But when you do see 8 penalties, you kind of write them off as, like, well, easy goals. Easy goals. But there are some where you're 3-0 up, and you get a penalty to get the fourth. The keeper's crap, you know, or maybe it's a sub keeper. Like, there is kind of, it's like any goal. I think you have to count them. It's like there's more pressure penalties in open play because there's more time to think about it.
The more penalties he takes, the more film there is of how he takes his penalties, where he hits them.
That's true too,
you would think makes it harder. He reminds me a lot of Bruno Fernandes, his like first season and a half at United, where he was banging in penalties every week, it felt like. But he was also far and away the best player on the pitch.
Yeah.
But I think because of the penalty thing, people kind of lessened his impact when he did come in. And I was looking, I think in Bruno's first full season, it was like 18 goals, 7 assists or something along those lines.
Yeah.
I think Palmer is nearly identical numbers at the moment with 8 games to go. Like,
yeah.
So it's a very similar thing of the game plan is definitely get the ball to him and let him make some magic. And if there's a penalty, give the ball to him and he'll score.
Yeah, it's like that movie, Will Ferrell movie, Kicking and Screaming. The Italians. Just give it to the Italians, you know. He's doing everything for them. But all the pressure's on him as well, because every game that they need a goal, people are like half looking at Cole Palmer like, you know, hopefully he can do something here because there's no real plan. So I think the penalties, it's for a 21-year-old as well, you know, to score those penalties in those high-pressure situations, I don't think they should be discounted, you know.
No.
Unfortunately for him, and actually another player, actually another former Chelsea lone wolf on his own, Mason Mount, Will. What did you make him get booed?
Were you watching on TNT?
No, I was watching on a USA Today.
Because at TNT there was Fletch and who's the Scottish guy?
Adam Coist.
They were they saw Mason Mount getting ready and they had a big discussion on, Cheeky's going to get booed.
Oh, really?
And McCoist was like, well, Fletch, I've been in the game for a long time. So, yeah, I would say he'll get booed. And like, as soon as he came on, Fletch says, yeah, I don't know why he thought he wouldn't. Of course he would.
Because he won the Champions League with them. He got the assist for the Champions League.
Yeah, but he left then. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I just thought, like, it's not common knowledge that he didn't want to leave Chelsea, no? That he was sold because he was a homegrown player and they got that, like, tax-free or some shit, and then they could buy...
I don't think anyone gives a fuck about all that. But when you leave a club, it's because you hate us.
Yeah, fucking, like, I don't know, I just thought that was, like, there's some players like you leave who force the way out, you know.
Yeah.
And they down tools and like, I went out of here, you know, like, I mean, Torres, he went to Chelsea, you know, like he wanted to get out of Liverpool. He was done there. He thought this team was done. He didn't want to play anymore. Like Mason Mount was sold because he was a homegrown player. He didn't want to go. And he's been shite all season, Man United, because he basically just want to be there. And he was just like sold like, against his will kind of thing. And like, there's been a few stories in the media of like, oh, he's a Man United player. He's a Man United fan from like, he's been in the Chelsea Academy since he's like 10. We've all seen the pictures. Like, who's he supporting then? Man United? I don't think so. Like, he's like, yeah, he's a Chelsea guy. You know, then to get booed. And then you see him like kicking players on the pitch then because he's so pissed off about us. He's like, oh, I hate this. This is my dream. And look what they've done to me, you know. I just thought it was incredible.
You have to feel it from his act. So he came on. United were actually, funnily enough, keeping the ball well after the 90th minute. They were just like, pass it around, run the clock down. And every time he got a touch, he would get booed furiously, obviously. Mm-hmm. But you have to feel bad because normally in those situations, it feels like that player wins the game. It's very rare you come on, you get booed, and then you lose immediately as well. That's a tough day at the office for anyone.
Yeah. Like, he went to a worse team. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he left them, gave them 70 million. No, sorry. He went from Chelsea to Man United. So I guess it's a better team in a way.
Sideways.
Yeah. Well, on Everton's last night, probably in the same point in their progression, you know, but higher the table. I don't know. I just, like I'm thinking of Alexis McAllister. He didn't get booed by anybody at Brighton, you know, as he destroyed them on his own, you know, because it's like, well, fair, you know, fair. But like, Chelsea, like, how dare you leave
when
us?
When United play Villa, they don't boo Ashley Young.
Well, that's a bit of a different one because he's 37.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Of just like, it's a player who gave you a lot, do you know? At a certain point, it's like, what's he supposed to do? Just stay there until he dies?
Well, it wasn't his choice. That's my issue with it. Exactly. It wasn't his choice. She probably would have stayed till he died. You know, don't burn me in the cemetery, burn me in Stamford Bridge. That's where I was born. You know?
That's enough of that now. That's all you're getting to hear. Like I said, that is a preview. If you want to hear the rest of the episode, head on over to our Patreon, patreon.com/nonsensepod. It's in the description for this episode. You hit that support our show link. That'll bring you there. $4.50 a month gives you access to all the bonus episodes, like I said, and lets you hear the rest of that exciting episode where we cover everything that wasn't Man United Chelsea, which is Liverpool, Sheffield, City and their hammering of Villa, Foden's hat-trick, Pep being a psychopath again. So yeah, if you want to hear all that, head on over to Patreon and we'll be back Monday or Tuesday, I'm not sure which, for a regular episode. So, talk to you then.